So we start these interviews out the same way because, you know, the TV camera stayed home today. Mm-hmm. So would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Greg Camp.
Tell me about growing up in San Jose in the late 60s and 70s, because it was a very different place than it is today. It wasn't tech haven back then, was it?
In the 70s, I was a very little kid, and we moved up here from Southern California, and it was mostly orchards back then, so you were still at risk of getting shot with a, you know, salt gun by an angry farmer for stealing cherries and things like that and riding your bike through the orchards. And it's all just a bunch of buildings now.
It is. Now, but tell me a little bit about music around the house, all of that sort of thing. Did you grow up with parents that played a lot of music? Were you surrounded by a lot of music?
Yeah, that's one of the things that Andrew Flagg, who plays guitar in the band, that we have in common is we're big-time Neil Diamond fans and, you know, all the stuff that our parents listen to. My parents listen to that and like Ray Charles, just a lot of, you know, kind of like soul gospel music and stuff like that.
Every bio I read about you is about sunglasses. They list, you know, Greg Camp was da-da-da-da, he did this, he did that, and he always wears sunglasses. I haven't seen you in sunglasses all day.
I think maybe with the last band that I was in, from all the heavy partying and things like that, maybe the sunglasses came in handy a lot. Maybe that's why.
Now, your musical taste early on, at least from what I read, went towards harder, more classic rock. Your first bands were more in the punk realm. So take me on just a little trajectory of how you went from more of a hard rock, classic rock background through punk rock and then found your way to, and this is not an insult in this room, to more pop music.
Right. I think, you know, just growing up, I listened to anything, you know. I mean, I had a lot of different friends in high school, and, you know, they were mostly into, like, a lot of punk and reggae and things like that, and I was sort of, like, getting into things like Style Council and a little more of the British stuff and things that were a little more pop, and so I caught a lot of flack from friends for not, you know, sticking to one thing. They're like, what are you? Are you punk? Are you mod? Are you a jock? A jock doesn't really work, but... You know, there were so many labels back then, you know, and then just, you know, after high school, I played with a bunch of bands. I played in a lot of cover bands to make money. And so, you know, when you play in a cover band, you have to play all kinds of different music. So I learned how to play, you know, different kinds of guitar parts. And I also learned a lot about songwriting for playing other people's music.
What's the most ridiculous songs, like two or three that you had to play in a cover band that you said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm up on stage playing this.
That would probably fall into like the wedding song category. Like if we had to play a wedding or something like that, then we'd have to learn something like, you know, The Fields of Gold by Sting. And which, I mean, you know, you got to love The Police.
Dun,
but,
dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
And, you know, Chances Are by Johnny Mathis and, you know, things like that. I still love that song. I can't lie to you. But.
I think there's room for a punk version.
Absolutely.
Of Chances Are. Could you imagine? You just get the beat going, Chances Are. Dun, dun. You could really
make it like a stomp.
Yeah.
Like an Irish thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could do that. I think that could work. Tell me some of the craziest names of bands you played in.
Oh, man. That's embarrassing. Let's see. I think my first band was called The Scam. I was in a band called Triad because there was three of us and we thought that was clever. And we played, like, progressive rock. That was, like, you know, really bad Rush music and things like that. And
as opposed to good Rush music.
Right. There was one band called Wireskin and Voice. And that's when we were sort of, like, going through an XTC sort of phase. There's Smash Mouth is probably one of the names that wasn't that great.
It didn't seem to hurt.
No, but I think after a while, people didn't relate the music to football or, you know, sports or anything like that until we started having to play all-star games and things like that.
And next thing you know, it all made sense for people.
It came full circle.
So you think that early on they thought it was about being violent and you know, abusing people?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people were like, you have such a violent name, especially my family. And they're like, really? Ooh, you guys sound scary. We don't want to go to that show.
Defector. So this album shows up for me, you know, a while ago, but I know it's just been released. And this thing is filled with, you know, I said it when you were doing the session earlier, it's filled with hits. It's filled with pop rock, but it, you know, but it still rocks. So when you were writing this album, having pretty darn recently left, you know, leaving Smash Mouth, it wasn't very long ago. Mm-hmm. What did you say to yourself in terms of the songwriting and the arrangements and the lyrics and everything else that you were setting out to do versus what you've done, you know, to great success all these past years?
Yeah, I know it's not, you know, really super different than, you know, what Smash Mouth has always done. I've been the songwriter for Smash Mouth, so the songwriting is probably pretty familiar. But I've sort of just set out to do things that either I wasn't allowed to do on Smash Mouth albums, you know, like do like a spaghetti western instrumental or a surf instrumental, and also just take all the influences and just sort of intensify them and not try to fit them into any sort of, you know, category that the record companies wanted them to squeeze into.
Which is actually, it wasn't on my list, but it's a great question. Take me on the little trajectory. So obviously, you went from major label. Did you make the album and then shop it around?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I did the record in my studio in Santa Cruz, and I didn't have to go anywhere else to do anything, you know, so it's pretty much just made about 98% there. I really wanted to be on an indie label, and I wanted to be on a label that had other bands that I listened to, and just knowing, you know, bar none from over the years from, you know, they might be Giants and even bands like obscure bands like the Mosquitoes, and there were newer bands like Oppenheimer and things that I was listening to at the time. I'm like, this sounds like a perfect home, you know. And also, you know, being on an indie label, you know, those guys over there, Mark and Glenn and everybody, are just like, yeah, man, just do whatever you want. Everything sounds great. And that was a big shock to me because I'm used to having everybody going, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I didn't have any adults, as I call them, like trying to get me.
64 A&R guys looking at you and saying, wait a minute. Could you please change that? Now, you know, it's funny. Every one of those bands that you mentioned, the Mosquitoes, They Might Be Giants, Oppenheimer, have all been behind the microphone with me in the past year, ironically enough. So it's kind of interesting, particularly Oppenheimer, because I saw them at South by Southwest the year before last. It was the first, I found out from them this year, it was the first time Rocky and Sean said, oh my God, that was the first time we played America. We didn't even think our sequencer was going to work.
Oh man.
You know, so it goes to show you. Tell me, well, I'm going to go here because I have to. And this is the question you're going to be asked 50,000 times as you tour this record, the album title, intended or not?
Well, I could lie.
You could.
Well, you know, the song Defector is a surf instrumental. And, you know, about 3 or 4 Smash Mouth albums ago, I wrote that to be on a Smash Mouth record. And everyone's like, what? You know, why would we put an instrumental song on one of our albums? That doesn't make any sense. And so it just kind of sat there, you know? And so that was one of the first things I wanted to do when I decided to do my own record. Is like, I want surf instrumentals. I want, you know, spaghetti Western songs. And, you know, I want to add a lot more 60s influences and more new wave influences. And so I was able to do that. But it sort of coincidentally just kind of worked out because right after I did a lot of the recording for the record, I quit Smash Mouth.
So it just happened to work out quite that beautifully.
Yeah. And then it's even weirder that the album artwork has a guy with a bag over his head walking around with a briefcase.
There's enough irony in there to fill people's vitamin drawer for the next 25 years, isn't there?
But we're going with it, you know.
We should. It's my story, and I'm sticking to
Thank
it.
You. All right, this is Greg Camp. This next song is called Gina Marie. It's off the album Defector. I've painted my phone bright red. At night I keep it next to my head. What's the
state your name. But you can't mean what you say.
The song Gina Marie is about my lovely wife, who actually was a friend, just a friend, when I wrote the song for her. And we were just having a phone conversation. She was in L.A. and I was in Santa Cruz. And she's like, no one's ever written a song for me, and I don't think there's even a song called Gina Marie. And I'm like, that's already starting to rhyme a little bit. And so I stayed up that entire evening, and about, 8 o'clock the next morning, I MP3'd her a little demo of that song, like pretty much finished, and she was completely blown away. And then she proposed. I'm just kidding. She didn't propose.
You know what? You've solved, it's funny, question number 12, which is a stock fund question for me, but it works here. It was, have you ever used music to help you romantically? So I already know the answer to
absolutely
that one.
Absolutely.
Well, but you know, when you think about it,
I've got a golden ticket.
Well, but it's interesting because, I can make, we have the power, right? To a certain, you can make mixtapes, you can use music, you can use what you do. Although her, you talk about, leading the witness, her asking you, a pretty famous songwriter, to write a song. That's kind of like saying, how obvious is that?
She didn't ask me to, but you know how ladies are. They just sort of have throw it way out there a little bit. And I'm going to make this guy stay up all night and bang his head against the wall and come up with a song for me called My Name. You
know? Well, it's a good name. Good thing your name wasn't like Griselda. Although that worked for the Monkees.
Broom Hildegard.
It worked for the Monkees. They had Your Auntie Griselda. They built that into a song.
Oh, wow. I think I know that one.
They can do that. You can do anything.
The song Zombies on Parade is just kind of basically, it's a made-up story. I don't know any supermodels, obviously. But I spent a lot of time in Hollywood and just sort of those people, a lot of those people, not all of them, a lot of the people just kind of walk around like, I don't know, like they look like zombies to me, and it's kind of sad. And then you think about it and I think the whole idea came to me. I was at a diner and all the people that work there, the waitresses that work there, have their name and where they're from. And it's like the Midwest, like in these weird little, cities, I'm sure they're like, farm girls and stuff like that. And then they've just become these just, walking dead people, And, it's a little on the dark side, but that's what that one's about.
Kind of gets into their blood. One moment you're from Wisconsin, and the next moment you've turned into Hollywood.
Right. And also, I think it might be a little bit about, kind of like it's cattle. Everyone has to follow, what's going on. Everyone has to do the same thing and look the same way, weigh the same, and... it's like a uniform. Hi, I'm Greg Camp. These are my enemies. This next song is called Zombies on Parade.
Congratulations, your face on the billboard. I saw it come around the corner on Sunset. High as a kite, high as a kite. I bet you at a beautiful cocktail party with skinny minds and bodies staring at yourself on TV. Everybody misses you at home. I guess we all. Gotta be what the others do, just don't lose what they are. Making hay while the sun is shining, spinning gold while the miner's mining. Your brightest of friends, your darkest enemies, they come to your perfection, your sunken eyes' reflection.
Originally, Cat's Game was written for a film that never came out. It was a film that was supposed to take place in the late 70s, early 80s, and they wanted sort of a Joy Division, you know, that style of music song. And so I demoed it, and it's, you know, the demo is even more, you know, legit sounding, you know, very four-tracky recording sounds. And I guess I wanted to use a bunch of, you know, words and terms and angular, you know, verses and things like that, because the 80s were very angular, you know, and they're always about mirrors and lasers and, you know, smoke machines and escalators and, you know, things like that. And so I sort of had a template, you know, and then just made up some story. It happened really fast, actually. That song was written super quick, like in a couple hours.
Thank you.
What's your first musical memory?
One of the things that I remember is I think going to church with my parents, and there was a band, and the drums. I was like, what is that cool little sound with those sparkly thingies? And, you know, that, I mean, that's, that got me way into music. And I actually played drums before guitar. So
interesting. So tell me a little bit about that transition. Cause that's a, you know, most people say I played piano and then I went to guitar.
Okay. Well, I have to, before I have to apologize to Papa Jim cause, but, and also thank Papa Jim for making me switch over to guitar. But, my parents were divorced, and my mother's new boyfriend, who we lived with, worked out of the house. And so drums were completely out of the question. And so, you know, my mom bought me a guitar, which I decided to hit with drumsticks until I learned how to play it. And just sort of made the change, you know. And I liked a guitar because I could take it with me places. You know, I couldn't take my drums places. I didn't really have a drum set. So I would just find things to pound on around the house.
So we do a thing called a musical sandwich. So I want two of your songs as the bread, and then I want a pile of songs in between by other artists that you just want to play with your music. And I will play it exactly as you ask me to.
Okay. Well, let's start with The Maid as the top piece of bread. And can that be rye?
Sure.
That'd be great. and let's end it with Armageddon Slide. Let's do The Future Heads. How about Robot by the Future Heads? Superstar by the Carpenters. How about Homo Sapien by 999? Dead or Alive by Van Halen. Hole in My Throat by Remoter. How about it's called Bike Crawl by Gina Marie.
Okay.
I've Been a Mess. I think the entire song is called I've Been a Mess Since You've Been Gone by American Music Club.
Mm-hmm.
And how about something by Romeo Void?
Which one? You want Never Say Never, or do you want Girl in Trouble, or you want
I like
more?
Girl in Trouble.
Girl in Trouble? Great track.
Yeah.